New Prime Minister was sworn in yesterday, along with Penny Wong, our Foreign Minister, and then they jumped on a plane and took off for Tokyo for the Quadrilateral Security Dialogue discussions, which are happening this week. And with more on that, joining me now is Greg Barton, the Chair in Global Islamic Politics at the Alfred Deakin Institute for Citizenship and Globalisation at Deakin University. I've spoken to him on numerous occasions over the years, but not for a while. Greg's on the line. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. Great to be back with you, Richard.
Yeah, likewise. This Quad group, it came together back in the early 2000s. How and why did this Quad group come together?
Look, there was a realisation, this is, of course, before we were all feeling anxious about China, there was a realisation that not only did Australia and the US have a long-standing security partnership, I mean, we've got the formal ANZUS treaty, but, of course, we've worked all these years with Japan as well, post-war Japan. It's been a cornerstone. India, an emerging power, had long taken a position of trying to be neutral and non-aligned, but India was increasingly, as the world's largest democracy, was increasingly worried about security in the region. So the idea was put, well, why don't Japan and India talk together with Australia and the US as Pacific Asian powers and try and find a way of resolving issues? So as the title suggests, security dialogue, it was focused around security. It's now really broadly human security. So talking about trade, talking about COVID-19 and future pandemics, climate change and extreme weather. And, of course, in the meantime, China has risen sharply, and that is very much the focus of discussions in Tokyo this week.
But Australia hasn't always been a part of these Quad talks, have they? They have pulled out in the past.
That's right. Back under Kevin Rudd, when we began to have concerns about the way China was heading, Rudd took the decision that the Quad wasn't going to be an effective mechanism. Then under Malcolm Turnbull, 2017, we moved to go back and re-engage with the Quad. And since then, actually, the Quad has sort of, consolidated itself, culminating last year with a really strong statement about freedom of movement in the South China Sea and the Asia Indo-Pacific region generally, and a commitment to democracy and open society. So the Quad now looks like a pretty serious and formidable forum for discussion, but also sort of a quasi-alliance, as I said, across all of human security. And, of course, it comes at a time that's really interesting for us, Richard, because now when we think of NATO and the EU, we think of really serious, important institutions and alliances that make a difference. I mean, for Ukraine, it's been life and death, not taking away from what the Ukrainian people have done. Those regional alliances are critical. And I think we can now see that groupings like the Quad, along with AUKUS and ANZUS, which are much more formal security agreements, have a place to play. And increasingly there's talk of Quad Plus, so bringing in South Korea. Biden swapped in South Korea on the way through.
Right.
New Zealand, of course. So it makes sense when you think about it. If we can find a way of working together in the Indo-Pacific region on common interests, the more we can do that together, the stronger we are, because none of these issues that we face can be dealt
sure,
with by ourselves.
Sure. You mentioned Ukraine. It's certainly a common interest in these discussions, but interestingly, India, one of the very few countries that hasn't condemned Russia for their invasion of Ukraine. Greg, do you think that'll be a topic of conversation?
It'll be sort of significant by its conspicuous by its absence.
I mean,
India, to be fair, has always had this long history of not commenting on such matters, so it's kind of consistent there. But put yourself in India's shoes. It's in this sort of a non-aligned stance over the decade. It's frequently purchased weapons from Russia. Well, good luck getting your Sukhoi service now, because the Russian industry doesn't have indigenous capacity to do everything by itself. It depends on imported components from Europe and America. So I think India's looking at that relationship with Russia and saying, well, just in terms of buying stuff, they're not reliable. And also in terms of character and behavior, they're certainly not reliable. India, of course, did that not just to balance itself against America, but also against China. And China's very unhappy that India's in the Quad. That's the biggest beef that China has. Japan, America, Australia, it understands, our position's not changing, but adding India really upsets China. And I think that's one reason why there's a lot of patience with India and sort of confidence building. Prime Minister Modi himself is, you know, not the easiest guy to work with, strong ultra-nationalist. But India is just too important not to be engaged, and the right. Quads mechanism of doing it.
Given that Anthony Albanese and Penny Wong were only sworn in yesterday as Prime Minister and Foreign Minister, do you think it was essential for them to be a part of these Quad talks this week?
Yeah, if you think about what would happen if they didn't go, it would look really bad. You know, it would say that Australia is struggling, it's in some sort of crisis. If, you know, admittedly, we're still counting votes and trying to work out exactly what we've got in Parliament, but you know, the first order of business with Albanese and Wong turning up is building confidence, saying Australia is not changing in any way that should scare anyone. In fact, we're sort of more engaged and more willing than ever to look outwards and engage in the region.
Right. You mentioned China earlier. President Xi Jinping, I think, is one of the world leaders that hasn't personally congratulated Anthony Albanese. Certainly under the Morrison government, they took a very strong line re-China. Do you think that will soften under this new government?
Look, I don't think Australia is going to soften. Albanese was asked this question yesterday and said, look, the problem with China is not Australia. We haven't changed. It's China that's changed. But we have to find ways to try and, you know, break the deadlock on trade. Since 2019, Australia's been frozen out of any ministerial high-level contacts with Chinese counterparts, you know, to punish us. I mean, we know that history. There's a chance for a reset. So it's true that Xi Jinping hasn't reached out so far as we know, but we have heard from the Chinese Foreign Ministry and senior officials welcoming the result in Australia and congratulating Albanese. That's not as was put during the campaign because he was the Chinese pick. It's because they're looking for a reset. And, you know, it doesn't matter who the new prime minister is. A change is a change, and it's a way of dealing with different personalities, saving face and getting on with doing things differently. It's in China's interests. And so I think what we heard, not on the propaganda channels, but on the sort of more serious comments from the Chinese foreign ministry was, we know it's in our interest to re-engage the world, and we're looking for ways to do that. And of course, there's increasing anxiety. One can be pretty confident in Beijing that Xi Jinping is backing them into a corner. So they're going to look for ways to get out of that corner.
Right. Peter Dutton looks like the man who will be the new Liberal leader. Well, do you agree with his comments about that so-called Chinese spy ship that came down the WA coast only, a week or so ago? I think he described it as an aggressive act. In your opinion, do you think that was an aggressive act?
I think we've got to look at the broader context. There's no question that China is aggressively collecting intelligence and often doing it in a way that sort of rubs our nose in it or sort of, you know, calls out our incapacity to do anything. So he's not wrong in the broad picture of China, but I think, you know, to be frank, the challenge facing Peter Dutton, if he leads the Liberal Party now, is himself to build confidence and to show that in that sort of leadership role, he can be a steady, sensible, reasonable voice. We understand during election campaigns all sorts of things get said and done which, you know, are unique to that campaign febrile environment. I think Dutton played the security card unwisely during the campaign. You know, Solomon Islands, Manchurian candidate, with the way that this comments of the Chinese surveillance ship were framed. And then, of course, news that there was a vessel coming from Sri Lanka. All very odd and, you know, damaging what's normally very strong bipartisan commitment to these issues for reasons of campaign politics.
Right.
Now, as I said, it's understandable during a campaign these things happen, but it's important for Dutton to move on from this and say, you know, he's not going to stick with this pattern of
snubbing. Okay. Finally and briefly, the Quad talks, they're happening now in Tokyo, India, Japan, the United States and Australia. Do you think realistically anything will be achieved, that there might be a resolution coming out of these talks this week?
Well, they're going to the talks with a sort of a lot of pre-baked, you know, resolutions that they prepared earlier, as it were. Provided they're agreed upon, they will be significant. These include an agreement on cracking down illegal fishing, which they say is 95% linked back to China. Pretty serious problem as we face a crisis of maritime protein and destruction of fisheries in the seas. We also have announcements about a pandemic package that would see as much as 1.2 billion vaccines rolled out. And Australia is going with an aid program for Southeast Asia, which is really significant.
Yeah.
You know, something up with something to show. So I think if all those things get signed off, and that's substantial. As I said, years ago, Richard, we would have written off these things as being, you know, all just talk fests. But now we look at NATO and EU and say it's important to have these things. So in our region, this is important.
Definitely. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Greg. Great to talk to you.
Great to chat. Thanks very much.
Greg Barton.